You are listening to Spiral Network, and Spiral Network is a station for everyone that chose the red pill instead of the blue pill. And if you are someone that has never quite been interested in the official version of reality, then this is the station for you. What's the official version of reality? Everything in three-dimensional context. Everything you can see, hear, feel, and touch. And, you know, so many are coming to the realization that there's so much more to life than those five senses that we've been aware of. And the cool thing specifically about my next guest is that he, like so many other, quote, everyday people who, you know, the regular 3D reality was a part of their life, most of their lives. They weren't on any special spiritual mission, you know, hard workers, people that, you know, just were involved in their daily life. And one day get hit upside the head with everything other than the official reality or official version of reality. Let me tell you a little bit about Jonas Elrod. Jonas Elrod is a filmmaker. He's been in the film industry for the last 10 years, working as a producer-director on various projects, including documentaries, music videos, commercials, and short films. He's based in New York, and he co-ran the award-winning production company, Rock Hard Films. During his time there, Jonas worked on all aspects of production, ranging from director, producer, and editor. Focusing primarily on music videos and commercials, he worked with top artists, clients such as Jay-Z, Justin Timberlake, Nike, ESPN, and Spike Lee. In the winter of 2003, Jonas began producing his first feature documentary called Bears. He traveled across the country for 2 years working on this film, shooting over 200 hours of footage. The film played the festival circuit and is gearing up for release. Today we're going to talk to him about his second documentary, Wake Up, following his own personal journey looking for spiritual truth and meaning after going through a very radical spiritual awakening. Jonas, thank you so much for being with us today, and I can't wait to talk to you about it.
Well, thanks so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. You know, I saw Jonas's film, and, you know, what I so appreciate about him and what's so cool is that, you know, he wasn't expecting any of this. Just one day, and I'm going to let him elaborate for you, of course, but I just have so much respect for him because, you know, having a multidimensional, spiritual, however you want to call it, experience that is other than your daily daily experience can really, you know, if you're not, if your head's not in the right place, can really freak you out, for lack of a better word. And, you know, even though he may have been a little freaked out, what it did was it inspired such a passion in him. He went on this trek and he left no stone unturned to basically get answered one particular question. And what would that question, in your own words, Jonas, what would that question be?
Well, I think there were a lot of questions personally, but, you know, overnight I literally had what people have described as a spontaneous spiritual awakening. And so I developed new senses, strong form overnight where I could see and hear and spirits and entities and energy. And then I started having premonitory visions, and this literally came out of the blue overnight. And so my big question was, why did this happen? Followed by a myriad of other questions. What does it mean? You know, how do I control this? How do I integrate this? So it was literally, when I would get an answer, it would only bring up five more questions. So we spent years making the film Wake Up, went around the country to seek these answers.
And so what did you, at first, you know, what inspired you? Where did you even know where to go first? What, how did that come to you, you know?
Well,
the list of people that you went and sought out to help you answer those questions.
Sure. Well, while making Wake Up, the first thing that happened when these spirits entered the room is they told me to expose what was happening to me. And about 9 months later, I got my crew together, very talented co-director Chloe Crespi and my producer Steve Utinski. So I went about it in the way, I mean, it was natural, but I went and had an MRI and a psychological evaluation. And when all those came back good and in check, I started looking into mysticism and science. And what was so amazing, a lot of the science was mimicking what this ancient mysticism was saying and vice versa. So we just got really lucky and started traveling, asking, you know, everyone, what does this mean? Have you ever heard of it? How do you control it? You know, is it happening to other people? So on and so forth, which eventually led me to bigger questions like, why am I here? Who am I? What is God?
Right.
So it was quite an odyssey we went on.
We have a caller, Donna, online too. We're going to just take this call real quick. Donna, are you there?
Yes, I am. Tambourine, it's Donna.
Hi, Donna. How you doing?
Good. Are we
being taped
right
now? You have a question for
Jonas,
huh? Hmm?
It's hard for me to hear.
Am I coming through okay? Can you hear me now?
It's a little bit chopped up.
You have a question for Jonas, yeah?
Yes, I do.
Great.
So do I ask the question now, or do I have to wait? How does it work?
No, hey, sweetie, you're on the air now. Just go ahead and ask. Jonas can hear you.
Okay, here we go. Jonas, hi.
Hi,
my question is, when you're staying connected to the spirit within and trying to stay connected with the God within on a daily basis, that's very important to me, and I know it's important to other people. What do you do, Jonas, in your own personal day, like the day-to-day life that you live, to stay connected, or what would you maybe suggest to others to help them achieve this connection, because we all live such very busy daily lifestyles?
Well, absolutely, and that's kind of the trick of all this stuff. I mean, for me, you know, meditation and prayer is a big part of my routine, and I also just kind of pay attention to patterns that arise. As far as carrying a dialogue or staying connected, I mean, it definitely takes practice, because as soon as someone steals your cab or cuts you off in traffic or belittles you at work, that usually goes out the door pretty quick.
Right.
So it's just kind of a constant reminder of not getting caught up in the illusion. And, you know, we're all kind of subject to that. Even, I think, some of the masters, you know, they certainly have their days. And so I try to pay attention to the patterns that come up and understand that this is trying to show me something, as opposed to, well, this is just bad luck or I'm having a bad day. And just try to, you know, be of this world but not caught in the traps. But, I mean, to make a long answer short, I mean, meditation or prayer is a big one for me.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks, Donna.
For your question, Donna.
Okay.
So, Jonas.
Yes.
Are you hearing me okay? Firstly, I want to make sure we have a okay connection.
Oh, yeah. Loud and clear.
Okay, great. So, I'd like to know, what would you equate the most shocking experience that you have had, that you really had no place to put the experience, and how did you place that experience within your daily life?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'm shocked anymore. I'm still somewhat surprised from time to time, which you know, tickles my girlfriend Mara. She's also in Wake Up, and she was a part of the journey with us, going around looking for answers, because she didn't had these experiences. So she really had to take me on my word for it. And she kind of represented the audience for a lot of people that hasn't had these experiences. I mean, it's all been surprising. I mean, I guess the initial night when the veil dropped and I saw that these spirits and entities and energies were very, very much real. I mean, that was probably the most shocking moment, but it was also very beautiful to me and comforting. And it was also on some level horrifying because you realize that the five senses that have governed the majority of my life and it, you know, kind of goes against everything you're told, except from a religious context, is quite the surprise. I never sought this out, and I never knew how I felt about shaman and healers and psychics and whatnot. I guess I've always been slightly open, but it was shocking to have these direct experiences. And it really led me to a closer understanding of this reality and a closer understanding of a bigger picture.
Yeah, I would imagine so. In watching the film, I saw each different ideology, I guess for lack of a better word, that you visited all across the country, from a Buddhist temple to a mystery school to a literal shaman. Would you say that there was a common thread within all of them? And if there be any differences, what did you find differed?
Well, while making Wake Up, and we hit everybody. We hit all major religions. We talked to many, many scientists, many, many healers, so on and so forth. Yeah, this is a 97-minute film. We didn't have a chance. We couldn't put everything in. We shot over 400 hours. But there were more commonalities, which I thought was nice, and there were differences. And it's always humorous and also a little bit of anger there when I hear religions kind of going against each other. I mean, you know, they're all kind of basically saying the same thing. And on a broader scale, I thought was interesting that a lot of the science was saying the same things that, you know, the shaman and healers and Native American tribes were telling us as well. So there's certainly more similarities and differences. And when I think you get out of that place of fear which, you know, some religion kind of preaches on, you do kind of see how it's all connected and how it all kind of works together.
Yeah, totally. Like, the root of all of them, I mean, in my experience, is the same. But in where that it differs, sometimes we can get caught up in the specifics that, you know, depending on the individual that is expressing whatever that ideology is, a lot of times the communication gets colored by what their perspectives are. But, you know, at the end of the day, I agree with you. It really is, you know, more similar than there are differences. If you had to say in a sentence what the similarity was, what would you say?
Well, I think it kind of boils down to nomenclature sometimes, but it's all a source, or it's a god, or a godhead, or a creator, or, you know, giant light bulb in the sky, by however you put it. And then it kind of comes down to different factions and, you know, sin or karma or repercussions, and then it gets even lower where it's, you know, there's definitely fear involved with some of these institutes. That was a big thing for me. I was raised a God-fearing Southern Baptist.
Wow, yeah.
And when this opened up and I started seeing things aren't exactly how I was taught, you know, there was definitely some rage that came up with that, and definitely things I needed to work out internally, because I saw that, you know, this isn't the path for me because it doesn't line up with my experience. So you can probably tell I'm not a huge fan of organized religion, but I think there's some great people in that and doing wonderful work. I just, it's just not for me.
Right.
And I'm trying to go straight to source and kind of cut out the middleman at this point.
Right.
And I think a lot of people are having, these spontaneous awakenings. It doesn't mean they start seeing different energies or, I don't know, start astro projecting to different universes or whatnot. But and some people certainly do that, but people are waking up to a fact that it's not exactly as we've been sold. And I think that's really encouraging. I'm really excited to see where that's going to lead us, you know, in an evolutionary sense.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful choice of words right there, evolutionary, because, you know, there's so many different perspectives in regard to what's happening right now in the so-called shift. And one of the perspectives is that within this period of time, within the next year or two, that it's the signpost of an era ending and a new one beginning. And within that new beginning, it's been said that this version of humanity will be upgraded. Whereas the experiences that you've had, experiences that I have had, that for most of society that might look and say, oh my God, you guys are crazy. You know, that just sounds so bananas. You know, whatever you're saying that you've had an experience, it sounds like a science fiction movie. But what is being said in regard to this shift is that it will seem almost overnight that the upgrade of the human being will be likened unto the comparison between Homo erectus or Homo sapien, you know, the Neanderthal and us. The difference between that version of the human and the version of us, it will be like us, and then that next upgrade. And I think that next upgrade are signs, you know, in regard to opening that veil. The things that we see that really are there in those different dimensions. The upgraded human, it'll be just the order of the day. It'll be a no thing. It'll be just like, yeah, of course, you know, that they won't even imagine how back in this previous era that we were so closed in the box of 3D. And I think that's so exciting because, my God, there's so many wonders, I'm sure, that we have yet to even experience that await us in those dimensions.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I used to think about this quite a lot, and now I'm just kind of go with it. When I opened up and I was blessed enough to get the truth or some truth. Bush was still in the office and, you know, I heard about war every day and I was just thinking that this could happen to this guy, you know, it could change everything. And don't get me wrong. It's not all lollipops and unicorns. I mean, some of this is really can be intense stuff and you have to take it very seriously. And I feel there's certainly a responsibility, but, I guess for the first month or two when I was awake, I felt like an alien. Things just didn't make a lot of sense to me. Just how we treat each other, you know, all the problems that we have, because my whole take was we're all one thing, you know, we're all one. So the idea of going to a foreign country and murdering people for various reasons just seemed insane. How we all get there, and I do think that it is going to be something that eventually happens to us all. Now, if it's a 2012 thing, I don't know, but a lot of people certainly seem to think that, and it's a more tradition, it's just the Mayan. I think it could be incredibly helpful to help us shift as a species. I'm sure with any kind of great change comes great resistance, and I even see that on myself on a tiny level, just my resistance to go with this. So we definitely picked the interesting time to incarnate. That's about all I can say on that one. I just don't know how that'll all play out. I know that people have a lot of fear around this, you know, with the whole apocalypse, 2012, doomsday sort of thing. And to make a bunch of people even more anxious just seems kind of like a crime. I mean, people seem anxious and fearful enough. And, you know, myself's included in that from time to time. So I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a Y2K fluke where it just kind of comes and goes and all this buildup. I certainly think something's in the water, but...
Do you remember that? Wasn't that funny how it was so hyped up and then, you know, it came and then it went?
Well, it was interesting watching everyone get so excited about it. I was working in a cubicle at the time and, you know, my neighbor at the cubicle would always talk about everything he stockpiled and all his water and ammunition. And I could get he was really excited just for something to happen. And I sometimes hear that around 2012, and to me that's a little unfortunate. I think it'll be a good thing, but you know, we'll have to wait and see. That came up a lot with Wake Up, but we just decided to kind of keep it on the side because, you know, we're not really sure. I mean, no one is, but it should be interesting, to say the least.
You say that a lot came up within the filming of the documentary in regard to this shift?
Well, yeah, it never got like a 2012 or a date put on it, but, you know, a lot of people are talking about this internal shift that we're all going through, and I try to pay close attention, and things are changing. Something is steering behind the curtain, to speak. And for some people, like I said, they may have these spontaneous awakenings and start to understand a little bit more. For other people, it may come through pain and suffering. And I see a lot of pain and suffering these days, so I definitely think something's in the water. I mean, I look at pain a different way than I used to. I think it's just to help you let go and to shift. I think it's just up to you if you want to take that route.
Right. And it makes me think of the experiences that you had. You just mentioned it just a minute ago in terms of, you know, how some, it's not all unicorns and lollipops, how sometimes it, you know, it's, what adjective did you use to describe the other experience?
I'm not sure. I was mentioning because a lot of people come up and want to know how to open these channels and open these doors and always caution people. It's responsibility. It's not always pleasant. And sometimes you're down low with information you don't want to know. And sometimes you see things you would rather not see. But, you know, there was also a huge positive side for me, and that was incredibly life-affirming, and it helped me with a lot of issues I had around death, which I, like most everyone, has been scared shitless of death. But that's definitely shifted my perspective through these experiences.
Have you ever read The Red Line?
The Red Line?
Uh-huh. The Red Lion?
Oh, right. Actually, no, I haven't.
Have you ever heard of it?
Actually, I haven't.
You might really be interested in reading that book. Very briefly, I'll say that it's about a journey of someone who wanted to have access to those realms, but was not yet, ready for it. Based on what you're just saying, you know, some of the scary things that you see or things that are disturbing. And throughout this story, you know, without telling you too much, the lesson in it was that this, we'll call him an initiate of knowledge. He learned that the scary things that he saw really were just things within him that he had not become complete with, things that he had not forgiven himself for, or, you know, owned, or, you know, made peace with himself about, that in those other realms, they actually are tangible. So when the veil was dropped, you know, by his means, it was by drinking this elixir of alchemy called the Red Lion. And he drank it before it was time for him to drink it. And because of that, he was haunted by all of these very scary, disturbing type of experiences. But throughout his journey, he began to understand that as he became complete with those things, his experience also changed from the disturbing to something very beautiful and profound. So it just reminds me in regard to what you're saying, that everything within us in our reality is absolutely a reflection of what's going on within inside of us. And as we change, as we grow, as we evolve, our experience can't help but mirror that.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Yeah, I mean, totally. I mean, I'm trying to think back when I first opened up, and there was certainly a lot of confusion, there was some fear and there was a little bit of cockiness in me because I thought I had these cute little abilities. And as time goes on, the universe has a nice way of course correcting and beating that out of you. So I'm definitely humble, but you know, we captured a lot of that in Wake Up, and some of it's very humbling and slightly embarrassing to get out, but we want to make a very honest depiction of this and just show the
reality. What's so powerful about that, Jonah? Sorry. What's so powerful about that is that the more naked that you are in regard to those things you might coin to be embarrassing or, you know, what have you, what that does, it gives permission to the average person to be able to have the courage to look at their own stuff, because if they see that, you know what, I'm not so different, I'm not alone. You know, as you said earlier, we're all connected. We all are different versions of the same person. And you having the courage to be so open and willing to share your experience. I mean, even when I was watching the film, some of the things that were on there, I just thought were so beautiful for you to show, because it's real. It's real life. It's what most of us go through in our own way. And for you to put it on the screen is an instrument so helpful to every, you know, everyday people that really want to know they're not alone, and that, you know, we all kind of go through the same thing in our different ways.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. It was, it's my honor.
Very helpful. I'll tell you that just from my own heart. Very helpful to see that in the way that you just brilliantly put all the pieces together. I want to ask you about, if you can, I mean, you don't have to say in every instance, because I know that you visited quite a few people and their trains of thoughts, but if you could just, you know, maybe in a sentence or two with a few, just express what you got out of each thing, or just the most poignant ones, if you want to comment on that.
Okay, sure. We, for me, I needed to hear a lot of this truth through the heart, but also a little bit through the head. And, you know, everyone's wiring is different. So in Wake Up, we visit the spectrum. So we'll talk to a shaman, we'll talk to a psychic, we'll talk to a Southern Baptist preacher, we'll talk to a Zen Roshi, we'll talk to a quantum physicist, a Native American spiritual leader, so on and so forth. And there were definitely things that resonated more for me. And one of those was spending time on the reservation with Mark, who's a Native American spiritual leader, and different practices, getting more ground to the earth, to learn how to navigate through the illusion was incredibly helpful. And what I found very special about him is you really have to discern through the spiritual community. And I learned the hard way, it's just like any community.
Right.
So you have light and dark. You have really wonderful people that want to serve, and then you have, you know, blatant assholes that want to rip you up.
Right.
I was very naive going into that. But the beautiful thing about Mark was he didn't scream it from a mountaintop. He just lived it. He just was that. And that was truly inspiring to me to want to reach that level. And, you know, he was one of my favorites we met. We met a very talented scientist, Gary Schwartz, who kind of broke everything down about connectivity and energy and how psychics are able to pick up signals and whatnot. And just the science behind it made it so much more grounded in this reality, as opposed to getting all woo-woo or hugging trees, that really resonated with me. So
right.
Kind of, I think the way this has been approached has been from a very new agey kind of point of view. And even that word kind of pushes the button with me, because I don't feel like this is new age. I feel like this is old age. It's ancient wisdom.
So old age.
And somewhere
as old as it gets.
Absolutely. Somewhere along the line, we all kind of forgot. So to hear science talking about these things, reputable scientists, was really amazing for us. We felt very blessed to be able to talk to them and see how these things were working. And we met a man named Roger Nelson, who... a college professor who does a global consciousness project where he actually measures consciousness. And
I'm sorry, Jonas, can you repeat his name? Because you kind of went out in the midst of saying his name.
Sure. We met Professor Roger Nelson, who is a college professor who's been studying consciousness for a long, long time, and he has a global consciousness project where he actually measures events and it measures the consciousness around that. One of the experiments he did was with 9/11, where he was seeing how globally the global consciousness was affected by that. What was interesting about that is there was an effect after the event, obviously, but before the event, also pointing to, one, we are all connected, and two, everyone has a premonitory strain inside them. I mean, everyone kind of gets it, whether they're conscious of it or not. And it was just amazing stuff to see, and incredibly inspiring, and really points to what the mystics have said since the beginning of time. We are all connected. There is no us versus them. It's just us. So that can
right.
Really,
sometimes. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
Or I mean, it can really help you start to shift and see things from a different standpoint. It's not you fighting with a guy to get a cab. I mean, it's really just
right
thing. So that's very interesting. It's been very helpful for me.
You know, I want to go back to, you know, you mentioned psychics and quantum physics, and I just wanted to interject that, you know, there was a time where I used to go regularly to a psychic back in the day, and, you know, looking back, there was a degree of my power that I gave away because I was going to the psychic saying, tell me, you know, what is going to happen? What is, you know, what is the deal with my life? And later on, when I went into quantum physics and understood that although, you know, if you've ever been to a psychic and you've experienced them to be right on about things where, you know, it's hard to discount, what I learned in quantum physics is that, you know, I'm going to tie this in also to this 2012 thing and the shift, that the psychic uses a part of the brain called the midbrain. And the midbrain is the part of the brain that you just were talking about, that how everyone in that experiment knew, it registered, that somehow they picked up on the event beforehand. It's because every one of us has a midbrain that is precognitive. Some are more developed than others. But with a psychic, they're usually very developed. And what they're doing is actually seeing one potential timeline. And the thing about that is, you know, when I was going to the psychic, I gave them all the power to be like, okay, so that's the thing that's written in stone. But quantum physics gave my power back to me, or I took my power back by saying, you know, that's just one version, because in the quantum field, there are limitless versions of the same reality. So whereas one particular midbrain is picking up on one, you know, we all have the power in any given moment to choose which version of those limitless versions we are actually going to experience. So that was probably my favorite thing that I learned within my journey. You know, we all have the power to do that.
Well, that's beautiful. I mean, and I think that can be said for most everything in life. You know, we are constantly giving our power away, whether it's with your lover or a boss or caretaking family members.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It is good not to fall in that trap. And that's kind of what I was saying about, you know, some of the spiritual community. Most of it's amazing and wonderful, and I definitely met a lot of amazing teachers making Wake Up. But you have to stay in your center and not give your power away. And you do see a little bit of that in that, just like you see it in any other community.
Yes, that's absolutely true. There's, you know, of all the communities that I've lived, like literally lived in, I think the first time I talked to you, I was telling you, you know, the journey that you did within a couple years so reminded me of like the last 15 years of my life where, you know, I totally immersed myself in every one of those things. And basically came up with what you just said, that at the end of the day, you know, I realized that what I was looking for, you know, in this search was closer to me than my jugular vein. I didn't have to go anywhere to get what I was looking for. It was right within me the whole time, hiding in plain sight.
That's beautiful. I mean, it took time, and I definitely needed the teachers to come in and help explain things and help get me grounded, because this did happen overnight. I was kind of forced to figure it out. But, yeah, you don't really have to go on the mountaintop or to India. You can literally sit in your living room. But, you know, that takes discipline and a lot of focus.
It's
also very beautiful.
One thing I observed so beautiful in your journey, and if you'd like to comment on it, I'd love to hear your experience when you went to the mountains and surrounded yourself by the little Thai bags of tobacco, which I've since learned how sacred the tobacco is, and why maybe that was used in that ceremony to circle you in protection. I understand you were there for, what, 3 or 4 days out there?
Yes.
No water, no food?
Yes. At the end of the film, and it's kind of what you were just stating on, we were wrapping up Wake Up. I'd kind of heard enough from everyone else, and I wanted to connect directly. And so what I did is I met Mark on the reservation, and he arranged for me to do a vision quest. And that really helped open me up to Creator to speak directly. And, I was very fortunate to do that, and I definitely heard the information I needed to hear to help me shift, because I was – it was definitely dramatic for a while.
And what would you say was the most drama of it? You know, when you use that word, what was that describing? What was the most dramatic in regard to that? Hearing everyone else's opinions and their perspectives?
Well, no, it was this. I opened up 6 years ago, and the first year was unpleasant because I couldn't control it. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't understand, and I call it a gift curse. And then that first year, I felt like it was more of a curse than a gift. So I really had to learn how to navigate these new landscapes, new doorways that had opened up. And so I really didn't have a choice on, well, I mean, there's always choice, but I needed to learn quickly to figure out how to integrate this in my life, because I opened up in strong form. And what was so beautiful about meeting Mark and the vision quest is that put me right in touch with Creator, or whatever you want to call it. It gave me tools to help me understand and stay grounded. And, you know, I'm still learning to this day, just because the cameras quit rolling. I'm still tested and trying to open up my consciousness even more. But that was an amazing moment for us in the film.
The experience at Mark's place, yeah?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So it went from a dark place to a light place throughout the course of 6 years while making Wake Up.
You know, that really came across energetically in the film. I mean, after you had that experience, it was palpable.
Huh. Thank you very much. I feel very honored by that.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned this to you when we previously spoke, but even from the end of that film to the time when you came to the screening and took questions and answers, you know, energetically, once again, the shift within you is palpable. And it was also similar with Mark. And I believe was it the director that was also there with you that day?
He was actually our producer, Steve. You're talking about Yum?
Yeah, and Yum.
Yes, that was our producer, Steve, and Mark, who's, you know, we spoke about, who's in the film as well. But, yeah, I mean, to me, that seems to be the point. And midway through Wake Up, I met a Sufi mystic named Llewellyn Von Lee, who really gave me a moment. And when these things open up, you can start to feel very special, or you can start to feel like a victim. And for me, it was a little bit of both. But I was so fascinated by all the phenomena I was experiencing. When I met Llewellyn Von Lee, the Sufi mystic, he said, this is all cute and great, but what are you going to do with it?
Right. I love him.
And so, you know, I'm seeing kind of the stock answers. All about spiritual growth and transformation. He's pretty much calling bullshit on it. He says, look, you're stuck in this world of phenomenon, and you need to look at what's showing the phenomenon, which helped me get on a closer path to God. And it also helped me to get out of ego about cataloging and, you know, all these different experiences. You know, for me, it was shown really it's about shifting and doing internal work, which isn't as glamorous or as exciting, but it really is the, for me, the only point to grow.
Sorry, we have kind of a delay, so sometimes when I talk, you're still talking. I don't mean to interrupt, but isn't the ego subtle?
So, oh yeah, I mean, there's some, it's a subtle thing. Now people talk about, you know, kill your ego, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, ego killing ego doesn't really work, but just keeping it in check. And like I said, you know, when these things open up, they can run away from, the ego can run away with it and make you feel all powerful, like you're something special. It's kind of silly, but I definitely fell in that trap. And also the flip side of that, in my experience, it's just about softening up the ego and being more open and more loving.
Now, there you go. That was the word that I remembered, that word from a question that was asked at the showing, and that was one thing I did want to comment on in regard to, you know, there you were, three men, you, Mark, and Steve, and the thing that was so precious was, you know, when I think Steve was asked, Mark was asked, you know, how can, what would they suggest to, you know, take their, you know, spiritual journey to the next level or open up more or whatever. And he used that word soften up or to be softer or, you know, something along that line. And, you know, here are these three grown, beautiful men that were absolutely, in their masculinity, but there was no denying the beauty of the softness within each one of you. It was, you know, the people that I came there with that day, we couldn't help but comment on it. It was so just, you know, you had to pause for a minute and say, you know, is this the new man? Is this the new man of this new era? Because if it is, we all have something very profound to look forward to, because you three were such a precious example of a man that stands in his masculinity, but has no fear of allowing the balance of the nurturing side, the soft side. I would be remiss if I didn't comment on that.
Well, that's very sweet of you. Thank you. That does seem to be
very true.
That does seem to be the key, though. A lot of the archetypes seem to be crumbling a little bit and merging together. And, you know, whether you're man, woman, whatever, I mean, from my experience, it is just about having the ego softer and trying to live without judgment and so on and so forth. So we all work very hard at that.
And yeah, judgment is one.
Well, you know, after people see Wake Up, we've done a lot of Q&As. You know, sometimes I'll get people that I can kind of feel their judgment around. It's like, man, this guy's totally out of his mind, or this guy's lying, or this is real, but he's still a mess. And, you know, I have to work with that energy and kind of understand this is happening to me for a reason. And, you know, some things trigger me, some things I kind of get the reason for and able to navigate it really well. But the screens have been really amazing. There has definitely been a lot of crying and emotional releases for a lot of people. And a lot of people come up to us and said, we've been waiting for something like this to be addressed. So we feel really great about how that's going. And we really want to share these messages with the world.
Well, I feel like it's so right on time. And again, like I said earlier, your willingness to just be raw and real really helps just, you know, your average person that wants to see that, you know, it gives them that extra little bit of courage to keep on walking on whatever their journey is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we relate to the light and dark in all of us. And sometimes the darker is a little bit easier to relate to because we do feel isolated and we do feel at times have self-loathing issues. So, like I said, it's sometimes embarrassing, but I'm very glad that we revealed these parts in the film.
And you come to see, I'm sure, when you're traveling, the feedback that you get from people, it shows you that it's not too much to be embarrassed about because we all go through that. I mean, God, we all, you know, we all go through it in our own little ways.
Well, the feedback has been tremendous. I guess I never in a million years would have thought how great the reception has been. But people, you know, we do Q&As at the end, and they run over every time. And, you know, people are constantly emailing me or my partners with different questions or want to do screenings. And, you know, we feel like we really have a film that offers a lot. And we really hope people can check it out. We're actually doing a screen up in your neck of the woods on the 12th in Portland, and we'd love to invite people to come out for that.
Beautiful, taking place.
I'm sorry?
Where is it taking place?
Actually, I can hear my producer getting ready to yell, but I'm not sure if you can check it out on wakeupthefilm.com. I do know we're playing at 6 o'clock December 12th in Portland. And we're playing a couple other dates around that area. And we'd love people to come out and check out the film and give us feedback. Or, you know, we can share our stories, and we'd love to hear yours as well. And if you don't want to wait for the screen, obviously you can buy a DVD from our website. That's at wakeupthefilm.com. And, you know, like I said, we just really want to get this information out. We feel like there's been enough confusion and suffering and chaos, and we think that this can bring some of these truths to light.
So tell us, Jonas, what do you have in the works? What's next for you?
What's next for me spiritually, professionally?
Let's take one at a time.
I just really want to dance. I just want to be a dancer. No, I...
I love it. What kind of dance? Modern?
Well, interpretive, of course. No, I mean, I'm still on my spiritual path and still trying to learn and grow. And professionally, you know, I'm hoping to do a film next year that kind of takes a lot of these truths and puts them into a feature film. But, you know, we'll see which way Spirit wants me to go. A lot of the beauty that I learned in Wake Up was just to let go of certain things. I've come to realize that I'm on a ride. I'm not driving the car as much as I ever would have thought. But that being said, everything is perfect and taken care of. So, you know, I'm just going to go where I need to go next. And we'll see how that pans out.
Yeah, when you open yourself up like that, Spirit usually has no problem making it crystal clear to you.
Yeah, I mean, it does. And I mean, everyone gets this. You know, people look at this stuff and say, oh, my goodness, it's so strange or weird or out there. No, people get this every day. It's just some people don't listen to it. Me and my girlfriend Mary talk about this all the time, about women's intuition. You know, that's just kind of a common thing that's said, but I don't think people even really think about what that is. But that's, you know, for me, being around a lot of women, they seem to tap in a little bit easier. And so if we're out on a party or doing something and Mary says, I think we should leave, I don't question her. I say, okay.
You're like, I'll get the car.
Yeah, of course, I'll get the car. And people have these experiences. Some people don't talk about them, and some people dismiss them, and some people bury them. But I don't think it's anything special at this point. I think everyone's had some sort of experience with this, and it seems to be increasing in numbers. So I'm curious to see where this is going.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that because, you know, of late, it seems that even the most conservative of people that, you know, maybe 5 years ago, you would have to you know, whisper beyond, you know, the water cooler, anything like this. But these days, those people are wanting in on the conversation. You know, they really are open, I'm finding in my own experience. They want to know. They want to investigate those things that they were so close to just in recent years.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Like, we did a screen in New York City, and it was for a bunch of Wall Street guys, businessmen. And I was kind of nervous about that. I was like, well, how's this going to work? Are they going to get judged? Are they going to say that, you know, this used to have a blonde mohawk, so I definitely have an artistic look about me. So I was waiting for a lot of judgment.
And
that's just my own projection, which I know I need to work on, and I do. But no, these guys were completely open, and they had lots of questions and shared experiences. So it really did kind of prove to me that this is around. This is all around. It's not just for people hanging out in Sedona. It's not just for art schools or small campuses. That these things are rampant. And to me, it's a tremendous gift to see that there's something bigger going on than just this, to understand that you do survive physical death. I mean, it's huge. And I'm thrilled that it's outside of a religious context, to be honest.
It's the truth. I just think that we're going to start to see more and more of this, because even if it's, you know, this shift and this quote awakening, I believe is being supported, you know, my God, you know, throughout the galaxy, we'll say, without getting too deep into a whole nother subject. But I think that our awakening is definitely supported, and we get help from all those different dimensions, all those different realms. And if we just make the intention to open ourselves up for that, I think that the most average of people will be surprised to what they can experience in regard to the alternate version of reality.
Absolutely. We interviewed the scientist Dean Radin, who had a lot of great things to say, and he's kind of one of the leading scientists studying this. And he would talk about doing conferences or whatnot and speaking of this, and maybe some people would cross their arms or roll their eyes or whatnot. But he would say he would go to a bar, you know, afterwards, and people would come up and have a couple of drinks, and just the floodgates would open up, ask him a question about this, that, and the other, saying, I've had these experiences. But you know, people, there are people that definitely feel isolated and don't want to talk about this in a mainstream setting because of the judgment around it. So I made a joke and wake up about...
They would be the ones on the, they would be the ones on the video that have their behind the black screen and have their voice all garbled.
Oh, exactly. But in a way, I feel like it's almost like coming out of the closet, you know. A lot of people are kind of stepping forward and owning this, and I think ownership is helping
totally.
Other people.
Totally. You should name your next film that. You should name your next film coming out of the multidimensional closet.
Well, it sounds good. I definitely see a theme for my work then. But, yeah, like I said, we really hope Wake Up can help and inspire people and give them some understanding. We think it's a terrific film, and we'd love for people to check it out.
Well, I'll say, because I have seen it, I totally echo that. And if you're anywhere around Portland on December 12th, you need to go see this movie. It's definitely one for anyone who is either on the path, have been on the path, or even thinking about being on the path. And Jonas, give again your website and any other information that they can go and investigate more of what you've done, what you're up to now, and what you're going to be up to in the future.
Sure. You can check out Wake Up at wakeupthefilm.com, and you can buy a DVD. We're also streaming the DVD now, and we're doing select dates at in December, and we're planning on a full-on tour next year. And with that, we'll bring on experts to come out and speak. I'll be at a lot of these screenings doing Q&As. And, you know, we'd love for people to come out and check it out. Like I said, we think it's a very important film, and we're very pleased with how everything came out.
And, Jonas, if someone wants to host you for a screening, they also can contact you for that. Do you have an email that they can contact you at?
Actually, it's on the wakeupthefilm.com page. I don't know the email right off the top of my head. I've given my email a couple times and I've been bombarded, so you can find an email on the website.
Yeah, probably not a good idea on the radio.
But yeah, we would love to come play your hometown, so definitely give us a shout.
You kind of went out just the last 5 seconds, so repeat that.
Sure. I said we'd love to come to your town and screen it. So, you know, by all means, please give us a shout.
Cool. Okay. Now, famous last words from Jonas Elrod. What would you have to say to everyone that's listening to you right now?
Oh, shucks. So you really put me on the spot there. to be honest, not to sound corny, but I would love people to check out the film, and that would be my famous last words. I think there's a lot of amazing information. And other than that, I really can't think of anything else.
Well, sweetie, I think the film really does speak for itself. So I just really, from my heart, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. And it's been an honor to talk to you. And I really hope that you keep us updated in what's going on with you and what you got in the works. We'd love to support you, you know, every step of the way.
Well, I greatly appreciate it, Tamarine, and thanks so much for taking time for me.
Absolutely. And if you just stay on the line, there's a couple things I want to give to you, some names of some books and things that I think you might be interested in.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Thank you.
Beautiful. Okay, everyone, thank you again for joining us today, Spiral Network with Jonas Elrod. And check us out week after next. We'll be here, bbsradio.com, station 1. Have a beautiful, beautiful night. Bye-bye.